This wonderful feast of the Immaculate Conception that we celebrate this evening is perhaps one of our more easily misunderstood feasts on the church calendar. Some of us may have found ourselves in conversations with people, Catholics and non, and mentioned the Immaculate Conception, and the person says, well, of course, Jesus was conceived without sin. We know, in fact, that we're celebrating Mary's conception without sin. And this, however, can sometimes lead to another misunderstanding of this feast. When we hold up Mary as being immaculately conceived, we sometimes run the risk of considering her a sort of superwoman, a sort of divinity, and a more than human figure, and therefore she becomes unrelatable or inimitable for us normal Christians who were not conceived without sin. This feast is a great example of how the faith of the church sort of unfolded over the centuries. Of course, since the very beginning of the church, Mary has been revered for her holiness, for this particular unique role that she has in God's plan of sharing himself with humanity. But just as we try to wrap our minds around today what it means that Mary was conceived without sin, well, the church had a long process of coming to articulate this belief of how Mary was preserved from original sin, not through her own merits, not because she's a superwoman, but because of God's advanced gift of grace. Now, this belief in the Immaculate Conception already shows up in liturgy as early as the 11th century, but it wasn't until 1854 that Pope Pius IX declared it a dogma of the church. And it's a wonderful example of how our understanding of these mysteries, of God's presence with his people and through his people, is prodded along by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes the fruit of patient meditation on the part of the church, and even rational debate within the church. One commentator quipped that it seemed like after Pope Pius declared this a dogma, the Immaculate Conception, Mary was conceived without sin, it seemed like heaven approved, for only 4 years later, a place called Lourdes in France, Mary appeared. And how did she present herself? But with the words, I am the Immaculate Conception. So it seemed to give her a stamp of approval that the church had come around to understanding this very particular role that she had in being preserved from sin from the beginning. And Mary certainly does have this unrepeatable role in God's plan and the story of salvation, if you will. But even with this most high of titles, this Immaculate Conception, Mary is still imitable for us. Her example of holiness is still within our reach. Because indeed, even though we have been conceived normally, we struggle with sin in a different way than Mary did, we have the same call to have immaculate hearts. We heard in that second reading from St. Paul today, as God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. So God chose us to be holy and without blemish. And those of you who appreciate etymology, where words come from, recognize that immaculate, what does it mean? Precisely that, without blemish. So God has chosen us to be in that same state of purity of heart that Mary was in from the beginning. So what Mary received as an advanced gift of God's grace so that she'd be prepared to bring him into the world, well, we are called to arrive at that same point through the life of cooperation with grace in our lives, so that we too can bring Christ into the world immaculately, without blemish. Mary is a woman who, of course, lived and loved without scheming, without false intentions, those results of our sinfulness that so often come up in our action, in our relationships. We're called to do the same. And it's not out of our reach to live that same life of grace. our lives are often stained, blemished. That image of God, that purity that resides in us, that presence of Christ that resides and dwells in each of us, is often covered by our selfishness, by our sins. So this feast, indeed, this entire season of Advent, is a call, is an invitation to dust off that image of God that we carry around. To do as St. John the Baptist will tell us in a couple of days, in Sunday's readings, to prepare the way of the Lord. Each of us, although we weren't conceived immaculately, we have that call to arrive at the point where the image of God that we carry, the presence of Christ, the Christ that dwells within us, can be expressed clearly through our purity of heart. And so we honor the particular role that our Blessed Mother has, and we also renew our commitment to imitating her. Her example of humility, of purity of heart, of simply loving without scheming, without selfishness. St. Anselm said, God who created everything out of nothing, he would not recreate his fallen humanity without Mary, without Mary's yes. And so we might say that God who created everything out of nothing, he offers to recreate us, to recreate our hearts. But he won't do it without our yes. We learn this from our Immaculate Mother. Say yes to God. This is the way of preparing our hearts. This is the way that we too can give birth to his presence, however humbly, in our own lives.